Thank you, Pastor Archie. You are blessed with your pastor. Just really somebody who loves God. We invited him to preach in our Victory Green Hills, I think, early this year. And when he preached in our 9 a.m. service, it was my first time to hear Pastor Archie preach. I texted all our campus missionary and required them to attend our 11 a.m. service. And I told them, you're required to leave whatever you're doing now, cancel all your victory groups, and go here and listen to how this man preaches the Word of God, because it's so full of passion and at the same time, so much depth in the Word. Sabi ko, you've got to see how this guy preached. And so everybody came to our 11 a.m. service, and we're really thankful, Pastor Archie, for that wonderful preaching you have and the fellowship we had after that. It's my first time here in Dumaguete, and I hope to be back next week. Bitin, you know? All right. Hope to be back next week to try the other restaurants here. But I'm blessed to be here. I'm blessed to be part of this family called Victory. Wherever you go, there's a Victory out there. All right. Just like McDonald's. All right. But the good thing about Victory is there's no entrance fee, no? And you know, money to be given. It's just family, and it's nice to be with family today. And I'm blessed with you guys here. What God is doing here, it's amazing. I do hope you understand what you're seeing and experiencing now in your church is a miracle of God. How God causes the growth, how God brought about the influence of this church to the city. And I do hope you continue to pray and support your pastor as we disciple the city of Dumaguete. All right, together. I'm back next week. Okay, so this is my family. Let me introduce, that's my wife of 11 years. Tammy, very beautiful, commercial model, print ad model. Pastor Dennisy, role model. So, 4 kids, and I don't know if we would add one more. Tammy kept asking me, and she keeps bothering me about it. I said, it's okay, no need. All right, so 4 kids. Okay, let's just pastor the church. But just a great time being with family. This is the reason I wake up every morning, just to see them and enjoy their fellowship. And we're glad to bring the whole family here in Dumaguete also. Now, we are on our series called Truth Be Told, and we're looking at the parables of Jesus, right? But we made a shift last week from weeks 5 to 8. We're going to look at the parables in light of finance, generosity, and the nature of God when it comes to money. Because money is the most talked about topic in the Bible. Jesus talked more about money than any other topic under the sun, which means this is important. Jesus knew that people would have tension with money and finance, and that's why he started talking about it and telling stories about finance. And there are many, many instances in Scripture where biblical principles about finance was mentioned and discussed so that we would be equipped as the people of God, as the church, to be able to handle wealth. Because our prayer is that when wealth comes, it does not destroy you, it actually enhances you. How many people do you know when wealth came into their lives, it destroyed their families? It destroyed relationships. Because they couldn't handle the wealth well. And so that's why we have topics like this, because we want to look at it in light of Scripture. And this is a story of the parable of the servants, the parable of the talents. There's Luke 19, there's Matthew 25. I'll try to mix them together today, right? And it's just the same story, but of different books. Luke 19, Jesus started the story. He was talking maybe to the disciples and the people in the crowd who were Jews, right? And he said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas. And said to them, engage in business till I come. The word minus here means an amount. 10 minus is equals to around 3 months of wage, okay, or salary. So in short, if it's 15 or 20,000 times 3, that's around 60,000 pesos. Not really a huge amount during the time because it's just 3 months. You can't live off your 10 minus for the rest of your life. So the master, the nobleman, went out and he says, I'm going to return. And here, I'd like to give you some minas. Okay, this is mine. I'm giving it to you. So it's not yours now. It's minas. Okay, so he gave it to the servant. Okay, and he says, engage in what? Business till I come. I want us first to be on the same page as we tell this story. first thing you need to understand is that Jesus owns everything. He said, "This is my mina, I'm giving it to you. It's not yours, it's mine." Okay? Nah. Okay? Okay. Do we agree? Jesus owns everything. All right? Jesus owns my wife. Jesus owns my eyebrows. Jesus owns my business. Jesus owns the church. He's the senior pastor of Victory Green Hills. Jesus owns Dumaguete. We are dispensable. All right? God can use another person to run this church the same way God can use another person to run the church that I'm pastoring now. Why? Because Jesus owns everything. Sa Tagalog, wala pong utang si Lord sa atin. Okay? Jesus owns everything. Your business, your career, your family, your kid that you really love, Jesus owns them. Jesus owns everything in this world. And Jesus said, "I'm giving you this, and I want you to what? Engage in business till I come." This is a phrase that we don't use often, but this has huge implications. Okay? When Jesus said to the servants, "Engage in business till I come," what does that mean? What he's saying is, whatever I give you, you have the responsibility now to engage in business till I return. You've got to make it grow. You've got to cultivate it. Okay? You've got to take care of it. You work it and you keep it. Okay? That's cultivating. Engage in business. In another version, it says, occupy till I come. It means what I give you, you have the responsibility to enlarge and grow and occupy till I come. It can't be the same. You've got to make it grow. Your grades, you've got to make it grow. It shouldn't be covered with the blood of Jesus. Okay? It's got to be resurrected from the dead. Okay? You have the business, if you're a student, your business is to make your grades grow. To do the best in whatever God has called you to do. If you are in business, your job is not to manage, to stay on the status quo, but to really cultivate it and make it grow. It's got to be earning. And he's talking to the church. He was saying, engage in the business that I have given you till I come. The minus I gave you, you have to make it grow. Expand it. What he's saying is, as Christians, instinctively. Okay? Sa Tagalog, hindi mo na iniisip. Sa Bisaya, instinctively. Huh? Ah, galing ko mag-Bisaya. No, okay. Instinctively, it's by your nature, when God gives me something, I look at it, I don't even think about it. I just know I'm responsible to make this grow. Instinct. Say instinct. All of us need to have that kind of instinct to make it grow. That's why since the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, Deuteronomy 8:18, that's usually used for tithes and offering. I want you to look at this verse, and I want you to see this in a new light. It says, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you," what? Power to get what? Wealth. Does God want you to get wealth? Yes. He loves for you to get wealth to a point that He's given you power. Another version, He's given you the ability to produce wealth. Christians should be the most prosperous people in the world. When I say prosperous, I'm not saying you sleep on money. I'm not saying that. Christians need to be content, but at the same time, Christians must be good at what they do, because the edge that we have over people who don't know Jesus is that we've given the power to create wealth. We've been given the power to produce wealth, instinctively being able to cultivate what God gives me. Husbands and future husbands, what that means is if God gives you a wife, okay? Listen, singles, take notes, okay? If God gives you a wife, your job is to cultivate your wife. 10 years from now, your wife must look more and more and more beautiful and godly because you've cultivated your wife. You understand? You don't bring your wife to church and she looks so sad and because you're not cultivating. It's a reflection of your leadership that you haven't engaged your wife on date nights and on making her feel special. Okay? Whatever God gives you, Whether it's a relationship, it's business, he says, I want you to make it grow. Genesis, that was his command to Adam. Work the garden and keep it. Another version, cultivate it. Palaguin mo yan. Kasi binigay ko sa'yo yan. Akin yan, binigay ko sa'yo. You manage and you steward what I give you. Because I own that. And I'm entrusting it to you. Right? In the next verse, he says, when he returned, having received the kingdom, but his citizens hated him. And sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. There was a group of people saying, you know, we don't like that master. We hate that master. In fact, let's vote to have him impeached. Okay? Now we'll get back to those group of people. Okay? Verse 15. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered the servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing what? Business. The master said, bring them back here. I want to know what they have gained. There was an expectation from the Lord, from the master. Okay? What did you gain out of the talents and the gifts that I have given you? If you understand that this is mine and I've entrusted it to you, now what have you gained from doing business? An expectation. Why? He's given you the Holy Spirit. He's given you the power and the ability. Folks, remember this. Everybody in this room, all of us, there's a great equalizer here for all of us. All of us here, according to Scripture, was given minus. Or for my version, I'll call it opportunities. There's endless opportunities out there. Don't tell me you don't have an opportunity. Lord, I've been praying for money to come. I even command, money, come now, now. You know what the Lord is telling you, right? Go to work now, now. Find a job now, now. If you want the money now, now. Right? You've got to go to work. This is part of what God was telling them. What did you gain by doing, not praying, business? Lord, breakthrough. Lord, blessings. Lord, I brought an umbrella today and I'll turn it over so that the money will come. No, you get that umbrella even if it's a rainy day and go out and work. Don't be lazy. We're Christians. We don't just pray by faith. We live by faith. Okay? So the first came before him saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done. Good and faithful servant. Naalala ko yung steak na kinain. Okay. Well done. Okay. Because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over what? 10 cities. 3 months' wages. Doubled it. 60,000 became 120,000. He says, now because you returned 120,000, I'm making you oversee over 10 cities. Imagine the return, such a generous master. You doubled what I gave you. Okay, I'm making you in charge of 10 cities. Dumaguete, Siquijor, Cebu, 10 cities. That's yours. Your salary, much more than what I gave you. Because you'll oversee 10 cities. Such a generous master. Why? Because somebody worked hard. Somebody persevered. Somebody showed up to work. And engaged in business till I come. If you keep whining and complaining, why is he getting blessed? Why am I not getting blessed? You check first. Look at the mirror. Maybe it's the man in the mirror. Okay. Maybe it's you. You're the problem. Okay? Not God. You keep complaining. Maybe it's you. All right? Maybe you rebuke you. Okay? Not the devil who's not giving you the job. Maybe it's you. Okay? Now he says, Lord, your what? Mina. It's yours. Lord, I acknowledge I'm operating on a level that you own everything. God, I do not take pride on the growth that I have and the opportunities that were given to me because I know it's yours. You created the environment, you created the opportunity for me, and you bless me, and that's why this has happened. And I'm just giving it back to you. But again, you can never outgive God. He says, no, no, you give it back to me. Okay, let me, but now I'll give you 10 cities. That's how generous the master is. There were no comparison. The one who got 5 did not compare and say, what? And the one who got 3 did not say, why does he have 5? I only have 3, no? Or the other way around. Why did you give me 5, Lord? You know, I'm only for 3. No. He took whatever was given to him. Okay? Do not be afraid of responsibilities. It stretches you. Okay? Gives you faith. Give you a background of myself. I work in our family business. We were in the fashion industry. Okay? We have a fashion store at Divisoria. Okay? Nagtetela kami. I was an agent. Ahente ako ng tela. And that was my job. I started from the very, very least position. Okay? Work my way up to become COO or child of the owner. Okay? I was the one counting the yards. My uniform was sando and shorts. Sa bodega ako nilagay. After graduating from the best university in Manila. La Salle. Right? No reaction. Okay, good. Okay. I think there's no Ateneans here, you know. What that means is there was no comparison because the master assesses first the talents given to us. So do not complain if you have 5 or 3 or 1, but be faithful if you have 5. Be faithful if you have 3. Be faithful if you are a one talent kind of guy. Some are more high capacity, some are not. Be happy and be comfortable with the gift that God has given you and be faithful to it because again, you can never outgive God. And when God multiplies those talents and the responsibility and the leadership, you will be amazed and shocked at how God would entrust you with much more. And the second came saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, and you are to be over what? 5 cities. What has God given you? Stop comparing. Oh, why did he earn so much? Why his business after 2 years became so successful? Mine, I've been working for the past 8 years. Don't compare. Be faithful with what you have. But show up to work and do great work. I do hope you see your work as an art. I do hope. I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. I study the word. I see it as an art. I give my best. I put out my emotions. That's why I get hungry after. Because I give it my best. I remember my daughter, my 10-year-old daughter, she does a lot of painting. So we started putting it in an Instagram and saying, you know what? Post it on Instagram and let's sell it. Right? The Chinese in us. All right? So she started posting her art, and one guy said, I want to buy your painting. Okay? And we were, so how much? We don't know. We never sold any painting before. And so we asked around and said, why don't you sell it for 7,000 pesos? Small painting. 7,000. Okay, I'll get it. Whoa, you're a legit artist. Somebody wants to buy your art. Right? But then she was having second thoughts. And she said, no, I can't sell it for 7,000. What if we make it 20,000? She was thinking. No, I won't. How much? You know what, Aliana, why won't we sell it for 7,000 and you do one more? Same. Dad, I can't repeat that. That's art. Whoa. So we're selling it now for 150,000, guys. Right? So it's unsold. She said, I'm never going to repeat that work of art. I can never repeat good art. She got it at an early age. Can't buy my art. It's priceless. All right? But the other arts, it's for sale, guys. www. No, okay, so. Be faithful with what God has given you. If you start comparing, if there's jealousy with the talents, creativity will never come because there's insecurity. You're always unsure of your work because you're jealous.
If you know God has called you to do something, stick to it. Endure, be patient, work hard, show up. Because one day God will multiply that. It's His, it's not yours in the first place. This is the story of Happy Toothpaste. The owner is Cecilio Pedro, who's a Christian, solid guy, Christian, disciple of Jesus. Now, in 1977, he created his company, Lamoyan Corporation. He was helping distribute Colgate by making aluminum tubes for toothpaste. From 1977 to 1985, made really good money. 1986, something happened. Colgate decided, their major client, to shift to plastic laminated tubes. So now he has this factory that creates aluminum tubes, which Colgate will never get anymore. He has a big problem. What do I do with this? The investment that I poured into upgrading the machine and the factory can never cover up for the loss because we lost our biggest client. He started tinkering about the idea of selling epoxy using aluminum tubes, but it didn't work out. Until one day, God gave him a very bright idea. Why don't you start your own toothpaste? That's why he's very happy today. Right? The first ever Filipino toothpaste. Happy toothpaste. Amazing, right? In the midst of problem, Cecilio decided, might as well do something about this. Why not make this grow? Now, here's another option, to whine and cry. Lord, it's so unfair. I'm a disciple of Christ. I give a lot of my money to the church and to the poor, and here you are, Lord. I lost my biggest client. Sometimes that's what we do. We have a pity. We have a party. Pity party. Yan ang problema nyo. Mahilig kayo mag-pity party. Alright. A lot of young people today, millennials, very soft. Cannot work. Too hard. Umambon, I can't go to church. I'll get wet. I might multiply. Right? It's so soft. How can you engage in business if your emotion and your spirit is soft? They went through hard work to produce 5 more, and to produce 3 more would require a lot of showing up and hard work and being responsible and not being run by emotions, but rather by the will, not my will, but by the will of God. Next, then another came, the third one came saying, Lord, here is your mina, which I've kept laid away in a handkerchief. Okay. According to the rabbis, this is a very careless guy. You don't put something valuable in a handkerchief. Like if I approach you today and I give you a big wad of money, tell you, sister, here's 50,000. Engage in business till I come. What do you do with it? Panyo, panyo. That's what this guy did. Careless, thoughtless. You know why he did that? He's not only careless, he's not only useless, but he's both careless and useless because he's thoughtless. He doesn't what? Think. He has no desire to honor the master. He was carefree. Ah, okay. Yeah, okay, okay. Yeah, one man. Okay, okay. We'll see, we'll see, we'll see. Malana, I'm waiting for my passion to come. If there's no passion, I won't do it. Right? Line of a lot of people today. I don't feel passionate about it. Bro, you're 35. Work. What's passion? If you have no money, you'll die soon. Because you're not eating. And you keep asking your parents for money. Singles, do you have savings? Are you cultivating your finance? If not, next week, Randall's here. Yeah? And he says, "For I was afraid of you, because you are what? A severe man. You take what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow." What was this guy saying? The guy, the careless guy and the thoughtless guy who buried the mina in a handkerchief, goes back to the master and tells the master, "You're the problem. Because you're a severe man. You're very strict man. You're harsh. You're a cutthroat man. You get what doesn't belong to you. You're a thief." Pinagalitan niya yung master. Baliktad. Parang magulang mo, sinabi, nag-aral ka naman. Ngayon naman eh, pressure naman oh. Okay, wow. It's like this. He was putting it back to the master. You're a hard guy. That's why nobody wants to work for you. Not true. The two guys produced more. The growth was 100%. What are you saying? You see, fear, the guy was saying, "For I was afraid of you." I don't know if he was really afraid after making that statement. But if you're afraid, here's your problem. If you're afraid, you won't do anything great because you're moving in the spirit of fear. And I've learned that as a Chinese. Always fearful. That's why you go to our stores, we have frogs, right? And cats doing the hip-hop. Right? Why? We're always afraid. I grew up born-again Catholic Buddhist with all the gods in our household. Why? If this does not work, at least we have backup. It was based on fear. It was based on fear. I worship you so that I'll get something, because if I don't, and I don't tithe, and I don't give to the temple or to the church or befriend the pastor or the monk, I might not be blessed. Operating in the spirit of fear. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. Or another version, God give us the spirit of love, power, and what? Self-discipline. Engage in business till I come. Fear affects your perception. All were given the same opportunity, minus, according to their ability. The last one did nothing about it. The opportunity was there, and he didn't grab the opportunity. Now, the master said, "I will condemn you with your own words. You wicked servant." He didn't say lazy. A lot of us, we read this parable and we think this is about laziness. It wasn't about laziness. It was about being wicked. He says, "I'll condemn you with your own words. I'll use your words, okay?" The master said, "You told that I'm a severe man. You told me I take what I do not deposit and reap what I did not sow. I'll condemn you with those same words." Because the master knew he wasn't like this. I give cities to those who are faithful. So don't tell that I'm a wicked master. You're the wicked servant. I'll condemn you with your words. Does this sound familiar? How we blame God because of our status in life when we can actually do something about it? "Lord, you just gave me one." We were in Siliman yesterday. We met with Bossing. Okay? The guy who was selling tempura and squid roll. God gave him fishball. What are you complaining about? He started year 2000. We asked him, "Manong, when did you start?" 2000. "How long have you been in a bike?" He says, 4 years. 2000, 2004. "I was biking with my fishball and my squid. 2005, God upgraded me. I'm now in a pedicab." "How long were you in the pedicab?" 2005 to 2010, 6 years. "So Manong, how did this happen? You now have a kiosk." "Oh, 2011 to 2016. He now has how many branches?" 3-4 branches of kiosk. Right? When we went there yesterday, because Pastor Archie was bragging about, if you're in Dumaguete, you need to go there. But Bossing wasn't there. Where's Bossing? Nobody was manning the store until a car came, a Sportage came, and out came Bossing in his apron. The guy has a car. Worked every day for 16 long squid ball years. Did not complain. Did not say, Lord, I grew up in a poor family and all that was I inherited was squid ball. Are you far better in life than that man 16 years ago? So don't give me an excuse. Don't give God the excuse. Lord, there's no opportunity. Use that squid ball opportunity that God gives you. Because God says, I will entrust you with more. He's multiplied down into four branches. That's multiplying talents and minus. 2 years from now, I'll tell you, that guy would be so successful. Or 4 years from now, 20 years total. Go and visit, he won't be there. Okay? Maybe he's in Manila already with his franchise. We'll never know. The guy's faithful. The guy shows up. The guy works hard. I hope he's a Christian. Imagine if he's a Christian. There'd be a tithe of squid balls here every Sunday, right? For the volunteers, okay? Not for everyone. How dare you? You just showed up and did not work and you get squid ball. No. Next, all right. Verse 23. He says, okay, I'll condemn you with your words. You told me I'm severe, you know. Why then did you not put my money, in the bank? And at my coming, I might have collected it with interest. And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. In his heart, he was exposed. He had no interest at obeying the master. He was lazy. He was careless. He was thoughtless. He was wicked. You know why this is hard teaching? Maybe that's why Pastor Archie invited me here. The Bible says, if you do not provide for your family, especially if you're the man of the house, single man, listen to this, even before you get married. If you do not provide for your family, you're worse than an infidel. That's what the Bible says, not me. You're worse than an unbeliever. Maybe in my version, it's called, there's a special place for you in hell. Biblical, Christian principles of hard work is so evident in Scripture. Bawal tamad. Pwedeng tamad. You go to church, you just sit down. That's laziness. Get involved. Do something. Engage in business. Not just your business, but the Father's business till I come. Why? I'm asking you. When I go back, I gave you the free gift of eternal life. I've given you the Holy Spirit. I've given you good worship team. I've given you victory worship. I've given you Pastor Archie. You have all the reasons in the world to succeed as a disciple maker. What did you do about it? Beep, 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 beep. Yeah. I'm not mad. I'm explaining the text. I'm just passionate now. Eliminate the excuses because opportunity abounds. There's no excuse. I know that. My dad came from a poor family. He was a runner at Divisoria. My grandfather had nothing. Could not even speak Tagalog when he came to Manila. But they were faithful to do the work that God has called them to do. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Right? Don't compare. Don't fall into the comparison trap. Just be faithful to what God has called you to do. Right? Be faithful. Okay? How do you respond to opportunity? How do you respond to the opportunities that God has given you? In these three groups of people, who are you? Okay. But as for these enemies of mine, now, the master came back and said, oh, by the way, the guys who hated me, when I started this story, I'll tell you their ending. He says, who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them for me. Binarbecue, no? These guys not only rebelled against me, but hates me and wants nothing to do with me. Bye-bye. I'll also not give you the time of day if you rebel against me. Strong story. I don't know how Jesus told this in the New Testament when he was telling the story. He might be looking at the Pharisees at that time. If you know how the style of Jesus, we went through Israel, and every time he walks down the street and he'll see the rocks, he'll make a story out of the rock. When he sees the crowd, he makes a story and looks at the crowd, assesses the crowd, and he tells stories. Maybe here there was a Pharisee. And by the way, those who hated me, slaughter them. No, not you. You, okay, no, no. Yeah. Those who are my enemies. Three groups of people, those who hated him. You know what's compelling about this story? You're in it. You're one of this group. You're part of one of this group. The one who hated him, okay, those who did what he commissioned them to do, those who cultivated the things of God, those who engage in business till he comes, those who do work that glorifies God, he entrusts them with more. That was the end result. I hope you're this kind. You're part of this group. Lord, let me be faithful to what you have given me. I'll stop whining. I'll stop complaining. I'll start doing something about it. Lord, I'll do business for the glory of your name. Or those who didn't do what he commissioned them to do. Or maybe some of you are part of this group. Those who dishonor the master with their lives and their business. Those who never really wanted to honor the master and look to the master with disdain. Those who neglected to what? To honor God with their lives and their business. Those who engage in illegal business. Those who engage in bad business practices. Those who maltreat their employees. That's part of the group here. Jesus is saying, I cannot entrust you with more. You're lazy, you're thoughtless, you're careless. How can I entrust you with more? I want to end with this. The master commissioned. He was talking to the Jews. He was talking to Christians, the disciples. He says, I've commissioned you to do great work. Two things. In this story, that's very clear, in the New Testament, that God, the Master, commissioned us to do. Number one, he commissioned us to do great work. Put your heart into whatever work that God has called you. Martin Luther said, if I'm called to sweep the streets, then I will do it for the name and the glory of God. He also said, when I change the diaper of my baby, I do it for the glory of God. For him, every action that I would do, it's for the glory of God. Ang trabaho natin is not divided into sacred and secular. All work is sacred. That's why you're commissioned to do great work. The pastor is not the highest calling in the world. Whatever God has called you to do is the highest calling in the world. Some would be in call center, some would be doctors, some would be nurses, some would be pastors, some would be campus missionaries, some would go into business. That's the highest calling, what God has called you to do. And therefore, he commissioned us to do great work and says, engage in business till I come, because I'm going to ask, how much did you gain from that business? Second thing he commissioned us to do, and we call it the Great Commission, is to honor God by what? Making disciples. Matthew 28:19-20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. It's doing the Father's business. My prayer is you don't sit here, enjoy the aircon, treat this as a show, go home, and put a check. Okay, Pogi Points Church. God commissioned us to go and make disciples. Not even talking about being part of a victory group. That's part of it. But for you to make disciples, you have to first be a disciple of Christ. That's why we have victory groups. Don't miss out on the purpose of the church, which is to what? make disciples, not hold weekly services. We can actually stop this and still be the church by us going and making disciples. Why? That's the work that we're commissioned to do. And every time I disdain and every time I reject what has been freely offered, the opportunity every week, that's why you have a booth, telling you, be part of one. This is important. This is the master's commission. Before the end of the year, my request, try it out. Okay? Be a disciple. Be disciple. Why? Because next year, as you do great work, people would see, ano ba yan? What are you doing? How come I sense God's hand on your business, on your career, or your studies? There's something about you. I don't know if what that is. And as a disciple of Christ, you can now tell the story of Jesus because you've done great work. And now, you're doing the Father's business. Be discipled. Don't be an attendee. Don't be a consumer Christian. Produce. Make disciples. Because this is the commission of the Lord. Just a challenge for everyone. Okay? Sign up after the service in our booth if you're not yet part of any victory groups. Because next year, God is going to do something and launch you into greater things.